I can't hear you. Okay. No, I'm comfortable.
Doctor Chola Shogot Shui Animisi and the presentation Hang San Yaguna Sons in Pavon to Cheshuis Anni and the daughter on the depression gate major that the local Jungle Mambuja Sons on any Yagushira Dos and the depression now in a Anni says. Say, correcting me this case sooner, Yahoo, anime, Rick Kazus, your rest, in anime, Rick Nanta, and she should have the caricature, your rest, in the Jima, Sumrana Shay, Toshana.
Thank you very much. Question is that. If person has suffered from depression, whether diet has some role, right? Diet. And if besides diet, what kind of other medications which are available? If a person has already suffered from depression, person is already going into depression, you know, you are diagnosed, then diet alone will not work. Diet alone will not work. Then some kind of intervention is required, which could be, for example, counseling or regular yoga, meditation or exercises for mild depressions. Or if there is a stress, then proper removal of stress is required. That will work for mild depressions. But if the depression is of a severe kind, then we will be required to use medication. And now those medications are easily available. We call them antidepressants. Many of them are available in the market. Each psychiatrist has his own favorite drugs and which patient must use and must use for enough length of time. Usually we have found that a patient who suffers from severe depression, it usually takes 6 to 8 months of treatment. Within 6 to 8 weeks, symptoms start disappearing, but so that the depression does not have recurrence, does not repeat itself soon after, we must give it for 6 to 8 months. The role of diet is maybe there in the prevention of attack. You know, that if a person is following healthy diet, balanced diet, eats in moderation, and also does all other activities like yoga, meditation, daily exercises, then depression can be prevented. But once a depression has already happened in a person, then diet alone will not be useful.
Just.
We normally don't either restrict food, whatever food a person was eating, the same food, we apply no restrictions, and we also do not recommend that this particular kind of food must be eaten. We just say normal healthy food, which the person or the family always eats. It's the same healthy food. And most of the time, whatever is cooked at home is healthy food.
동아대 기능기다 그게 이제 나야 되게 되시라기 편도 중송 수도체 수혜체 但 yet it means 당한도 달랜데 depression 세기 토라 아니 더 주시 토라 두두르제야다 안디리야다 밍디 베베톤 가르타마다 디 아니 간도 또 수혜레 디 인디 당분예려야 밍타서기 depression 세기 나서 코란라 아니 응원에 똑같이 두스 아니 단다 가서 송도 망분예 백갑라 아니 다 베베기 단다 다 심금 가사 내숑다 대전나네 다 소롱도 데베 네 딘데치라 문진체야체 다야 가브레 라라고로 소베 게잉기 아니 제양 제게 나서 문진체체 다야 노조베 심금 리베토네 아니 디프레션 게 나자데 나야텔 스트레스 다데 안다 규게 망부지셰 송다 규게 셰당데 담멘라지 두스 다 베베암지 경우에네 depression nazat never check tracky surveys. Carasana could depression nagadu love songs. And in Yemen did a chevy, and a tapshit in the chevy thousands. Ya, Chitsi regret on a Karsuri, Shatan, Cher, Chupala, Sobaton, a thousands, and all. Tendu Yungutus, this you do. No job, some gum regretchiki, co depression race, and Nazak Munzin Chene, two tongues of a chigla, dinner target to a chick. Taya, Pepe Amji Tone, and Tinde Geta, Depression Ginaza Tinde, Navarre's a chick, and a Nujobe, some country, Pazala Pa, Libne, members of Libne, Tapshich and a Taki Chuan, your best, Chiche, Depression Seg D, Nazare Mare, Nishi Reda Mares, Depression Seg D, Naza Yimbaina. Naza yin be tsam de kanisha gres. So so de tandang yen de yong de sim tuba ton and nagu yoga de sebre shas. Sim tuba division de naza yina. Sim tuba sangma naza re mares. Sim tuba sangma naza yin be yina. And halam nazo sim ginangi. Gensha yong zoya naza charo dos. De yin de division de naza yin be kungi gumze yanda kariores. Depression say it's some Kanisha or us. Naza dig it's some di. Tinay chena depression say, people to marry say it's some Kanisha or us. Kiata tin Naza Yimbaji Sebuchuna, and is Shine da Minkari Tabu to Mendu, Petolia, Minkari Lake to Mendu, Shine teacher, Shas, Jesus T. Sebuchunuchi.
Sir, thank you for your question. If I have understood it correct, Buddhist tradition is a very rich tradition. It has tried to explain the reasons behind illnesses and reasons behind many of the body conditions and mental conditions or states. Which I appreciate, which I respect. In the medical science which I have read and which I practice, we describe illness which has three things. Anybody who has symptoms, that means he complains to the doctor that I don't sleep, I don't have appetite, or my body aches, my body has pain. That means he has complaints. Second thing is that the doctor is able to find some changes in the body. You know what we call as signs of illness. That means that either the blood pressure will be high, pulse will be high, or there may be some liver large, or there may be some changes in the laboratory investigation. That is the second thing. That means first is patient's complaints. Second is the clinician detects some changes in the body. And third thing is that it causes distress or dysfunction to the individual. dysfunction means that the person becomes so sick that the person cannot do his or her daily activities of living. And when it continues, then we say that a particular condition has become illness. So these three things are important to call any condition as illness. And then there are, every system has illness. Nervous system has illness, cardiovascular, that is heart, has illnesses. So then there are many, many hundreds and thousands, like in Buddhist tradition also. So that's how we will call it an illness. Depression becomes an illness when the person starts having symptoms. But many times person may not complain of the symptoms himself. Person has sleeplessness, person doesn't go to work, person does not work efficiently, but so person doesn't complain, but the family may see the changes. So that's a symptom. And when I see this patient, I find that he is speaking very low, his face is very dark, he has lost his appetite, he is not talking to me properly, and because of this he is not able to attend to his work on a regular basis, then for me that change of mood becomes illness, which then I must treat. Whether I use medication to treat or whether I advise some other kind of counseling or psychotherapy, but I must manage. So that becomes, that state would become depression when those three things are fulfilled.
I have a question. You began your talk, Dr. Kanawara, by saying that depression was a scourge of modern day living. And I'm interested to know your thoughts about what it is about modern day living that underlies so much depression. Can you speak to that, please?
It was only to attract your attention. You see, that it is believed that in modern living, you know, all of us are becoming vulnerable to depression. One is that our lifestyle has changed a lot, you know. There was some question about diet. All of us are not eating healthy diets. We are not taking adequate exercises, right? We are not giving enough rest to our body. We don't want to sleep as much as it is required. People say that you must sleep 7 to 8 hours. But we have no time to sleep. We have no time to relax. So these are the modern day kind of problems. And then all of us are living longer, which is a good thing. But increasing life also produces risk to illnesses as well. So that is the modern day thing. Another thing which has happened in modern times, that the family system has taken a major beating. Earlier people were living in joint families, so even if a person became ill, depression or something else, there was adequate support. So even if a person was feeling suicidal, there was somebody to keep a watch, you know, and could prevent suicide. But now people are living singly, or they are living in nuclear family, where everybody has gone to work and the person has been left alone at home. Perfect atmosphere or perfect situation to commit suicide. So these are the modern day changes, you know, that depression has become so prominent. I hope. Thank you. Symptoms alone don't become depression. No, I said that three things are required. One is symptom. Symptom is what patient complains of. What patient says or the family says that for last 1 month, this person has loss of sleep, loss of appetite, loss of pleasure, loss of interest, low energy, easy fatigue. Then that is symptom. Then when I examine him, then I find more changes in this person, you know, which are called signs of illness. That means I find that he's not looking at me, his face is dark and gloomy, he is speaking very slowly, and so those kind of changes which I observe, that is what we call as signs of illness. And third thing is that if I do a laboratory investigation, I find certain more evidence of his body system functioning improperly. So for any situation to be called as illness, I need to have three things: patient's complaint, my own observations, and some lab investigations if it is possible. Then I say that it is depression. Each psychiatric illness has its own collection of symptoms. In depression, I have told you that what those symptoms are. If suppose a person of anxiety disorder comes to me, anxiety illness, then his symptom would be of nervousness, feeling raised heartbeat, sweating, shivering of limbs, mouth becoming dry. Those kind of symptoms will be specific to anxiety state. If I see any other patient of psychiatric illness, what we call as schizophrenia, which is a severe mental illness, then symptoms will be of a different kind. So it's a collection of some symptoms which are unique to each illness. There is always some overlap, that one symptom may be there in 2-3 illnesses. You know, for example, headache can be there in migraine, headache can be there in viral fever, headache can be there after a lot of stress. So some symptoms can be seen in 1, 2, or 3 illnesses, but each illness may have a specific group of symptoms. If a person has too many symptoms, but I don't find any evidence in him, I may not classify that person as an ill person. I may not put that person under treatment. He's just making complaints. I may not find the sign of illness or any evidence of illness in that person. Some people are chronic complainers. They complain all the time, but we don't find any evidence of illness in them. I hope I have answered.
Asamkham Rigpe Chalepa Chike Nide Sungshen Nangpa De Nying Thakwa Ni Thukche Ngay Thiva Chikla Depressed Ke Natsa Khantre Chikla Om Chavye Tang Yoka Nuche Yungu Yume Tichi Sungro Nangs Pena Kashi Depression Yue Tengen Kashi La Om Ke Lapchan Dike Pa Nuen Droye Da Nangshin Ke Yoka Tendek Luchong de Gapa, Nutsen Roteke, Rig Natsa de Kandichi Reshas, Charangi, a Chalinang with Jurim Gitong, a Kandi Res Dishi Shue.
Thank you for your question. The evidence for yoga is very recent. Only in recent times, people have started studying the role of yoga in modern medicine and also in anxiety and depression. We believe the evidence which is there in the scientific publication is that yoga may help in preventing mild depressions. You know, mild depression is very, very common. Most of the time people suffer from mild depressions. So yoga may prevent those episodes of mild depression. But mild depression can also be problematic for an individual. So that is also necessary to treat those mild depressions. So yoga can manage to prevent those mild, which are very frequent, those kind of depression. Even if a person, so it can have a preventive action. Yoga also helps in quick recovery. That means that the relief from medication will be faster. For example, antidepressant, they take about 2 weeks for showing their improvement. But if a person is doing regular yoga, person is doing regular exercises, person is having a good, adequate, healthy diet, then the recovery will be faster. Person will become functional faster. Then third way yoga can help is, I said that depression relapses very frequently. Person recovers, but after 1 year again becomes depressed. It is believed, I mean the evidence is still coming. We do not have all the evidence, but it is possible that yoga may help the person to avoid next episode of depression for a longer period of time. I hope that's what you wanted.
Yeah.
I wanted to speak to that also, Dobro Tuko, and that is, I think there are many aspects to yoga that are helpful in mental health. The doctor here said something about the rush, the stress of modern life. If you have a yoga practice, you are setting aside time. and you're doing physical exercise for your body. You're also stretching your body. You're paying attention to your breath. It's a slowing down and paying attention to your inner, you know, you're just slowing down and setting aside the time to slow down. I think it's also important to know that there are books now being written about yoga for trauma survivors, and that it's called trauma-informed yoga, and it's being very successfully used to treat survivors of severe trauma.
Yeah, sure. Any question from this side? There are a lot of young people at the back.
We're ready for audience questions.
There's a question from there. Question from there. You are saying in English or in... Good. Then I don't have to use.
So, I have three doubts. So my first doubt is basically that... So if you have come across a case where, say, a female is suffering from depression because of domestic violence, so that includes her family and social as well. So are there like, you know, do you go into therapy where you involve the family as well? This is my first question. My second question is that, yeah, exactly. So... the do's and don'ts of, if a family member is suffering from depression, so as a caretaker, what am I supposed to do? And specifically not, because I've heard that, you know, sometimes if there's a family member and we ask them to go out for a function and socialize, and sometimes it's fatal, so, you know, the person does not feel comfortable. So I want you to elaborate a little on what are the don'ts. When you know a person is suffering from depression, what you shouldn't be doing as a family member. And third is actually, I caught a glimpse of once I was, once you were sliding through your slides. So you mentioned something about adventure therapy. So could I know a little about what is adventure therapy?
You are very intelligent. Good questions. The first question is, if there is a stress like domestic violence, and what is the role of family? How should family react? If you looked at, you were looking at my slides carefully, I believe. I wrote, there was one slide which said, treatment is collaborative effort. So in many such situations where stress is obvious, and the stress is happening at the family level, then family's involvement is crucial, and we do involve them. Even if there is no obvious family stress, even then we want family to be involved in the management, because the treatment is going to continue for a reasonably lengthy period, 6 to 8 months, I say, and the family must have patience. The family must understand that why long treatment is necessary. So family's effort is very important. Even sometimes when I receive a patient who has come all by himself or herself, we insist and we write on the prescription card to come with a family member next time. It is must in our clinic at AIIMS. Second question was do's and don'ts. Yes, do's and don'ts. Yes, very important question. You know, many times people believe that all depressions are because of stress. That person is stressed, and so it is useful if person is taken away from the source of stress. Go for a holiday. Take this person to Dharamshala, to Goa, or to some other resort. A person who is already suffering from depression, I wrote that there is loss of, what did I say? There is loss of what? Two things. Loss of?
Pleasure.
Loss of pleasure and loss of interest. Yeah. If a person is not enjoying sipping his daily cup of tea, not enjoying reading newspaper, not enjoying watching television, how will this person enjoy a beach evening? Or how will this person will enjoy walking around MacLeod Ganj? That will be a very bad thing. Because the person may feel that the family has taken so much trouble and I am not enjoying, and may feel more guilty about it. So we will be stressing the person more. We always advise the family that take him for a holiday when he is in full fitness of mind and body. If a person can't go for a trek in MacLeod Ganj to Naddi, why bother him? If a person cannot have a good swim in the beach, why force him? You see, so we don't advise that during the phase of illness, take him for a holiday. Holiday must be enjoyed. That is not, should be an escape. Holidays are not for escaping from your stress. Holidays are meant to enjoy. Other things which we advise the family and the patient not to do, not to take any important decision during the phase of illness. No important decision. People say that my job is very stressful, should I change my job? Change your job, fine, but only once you have recovered and you are having your full senses of mind, when your decision making is absolutely perfect, then take an important decision. Decision to marry, decision to change the job, decision to start a business, all should be in your perfect health, perfect physical and mental health, not when you are already stressed because of illness. Fine? Third thing is about adventure therapy. It has been seen that people who go on regular adventures, they are, their body, their mind becomes very resilient. Their problem solving improves, you see, and they are able to anticipate problems. They are able to develop relationships, you know, because adventure you can't do by yourself. And adventure, you have to have people's cooperation. So you learn to take that kind of attitude where you provide help, you don't feel ashamed in taking help, you anticipate problems, you take action for those problems. So adventure works like therapy. I always take it twice a year. Thank you.
I have several questions that people have written for you. Sir, thank you so much for your presentation. As we came to understand in diagnosing depression through signs, symptoms, and laboratory parameters, you mentioned of LFT and metabolic rate to find out. What is the possible relationship with this, and is there any other laboratory measures to rule out depression?
Oh, who is this question? Who has written this question? Very intelligent question. Please own up the question. Anyway, somebody asked me that what is the relationship between liver function tests and the metabolic functions. Very good question. It has been seen that depression is a risk factor for many medical disorders. Depression is a risk factor for many heart diseases. Depression is a risk factor for certain kind of a stroke, neurological problem. And it has also been seen that depression is a risk factor for, in women, for breast cancer. So depression is related to many other physical or medical disorders. People who are suffering from chronic depressions, they tend to become obese because then they don't follow healthy diet. They eat a lot of junk food, they become obese, and they become prone to develop metabolic syndrome. Metabolic syndrome has certain features like obesity, diabetes, type 2, hypertension. And metabolic syndrome was already, it's a problem in Western countries. It is becoming a problem in developing country like India also. India is no longer perhaps developing. It is fast going towards developed society, at least in many indicators. So there is lot of relationship of depression, but depression by itself, in uncomplicated depression, will not show any change in liver function test. But patients of chronic depression may develop number of other medical disorders over time, and that may show in impaired laboratory investigations. Sometimes patients of depression, to fight their depression, they may start consuming alcohol, and many times they become alcohol dependent. Then their liver start getting bad, and that may show in poor liver function test.
Here's another question. What would be the biological causes of depression?
Biological causes, they have shown that there are certain neurotransmitters in the brain which get impaired. A very common, which you must have read in newspapers and magazines, is serotonin. Serotonin, dopamine, they get impaired. Their functioning gets impaired. They are detected not by routine investigations, but if you do special investigations, you can detect those changes. Now, we have also carried out studies by MRIs, what we call as fMRI or functional MRIs. We have done studies in our center, what we call as spectroscopy, and where it is possible to see those changes inside the brain. So there are definite biological changes within the brain which are associated with cases of depression. And there is a specific kind of depression, what we call as bipolar disorders, where these changes are much more remarkable.
I have another question here, Doctor. It says, but since modern medical systems don't accept or recognize the lung and consciousness, so how to describe about which parts of the body will be affected by those conditions, brain or heart?
But the modern medicine does not recognize what?
Lung and consciousness.
What is lung? What is lung? Oh, it's a difficult territory now for me. Yes, that is a limitation of modern science. You know, we all accept that modern science and modern medicine is not perfect. So far, the focus of attention of modern medical science has been the body. You know, it has not paid much attention to consciousness or to lung, what is prana, you said. So I don't think that I would be able to answer that. Because modern science is very narrow in its view, very narrow in its view. So I think the traditional systems are better equipped to answer that kind of question. And in the previous session, there were a lot of discussion on that aspect, which was very good. I was looking at one question, somebody was... Yes.
Yes. So my question is, it's just in doubt. Is there a specific area in a body part where depression occurs? Because if so, where is it? Because why aren't we just focusing on that part and not doing others? And if there isn't, where are the medicines going?
Oh, yes, yes. If there was an award for a question, I would have given to him. So I can't give an award, but I can give you 3 cheers. So clap for him, please. Why don't we focus on that particular system where depression is showing maximum effect? And where is the medicine going? You see, there is a term called holistic medicine. Holistic medicine is that you look at the entire body and not just at one particular focus. When I if I had time to discuss about all the symptoms of depression, you would realize that depression affects the entire system. It affects our nervous system, it affects our digestive system, it affects our liver, everything. So it is not only confined to our mind. But mind controls everything, mind controls the body, so all the parts of the body are affected. Person is tired, person feels aches and pains, first person does not want to get up, no energy left, so everything is affected. So it is not only one system which is affected, the entire body is affected. So that's a good question, that you have symptoms in each part of your body. The where do antidepressant drugs work? That was his second question. That whether they affect the liver or the heart or some other system. The antidepressant drugs work in the central nervous system. I said that there are neurotransmitters in the brain which get their functioning becomes impaired. And it is believed that when we give antidepressant drugs, they correct those neurotransmitters. So basic function is at the central nervous system, but they also affect other systems of the body, and then they become side effects. Clear? Thank you. There is another question from there.
Yeah. Om Sai Ram.
Om Sai Ram.
Radhe Radhe. Tashi Tele to everybody. So thank you so much for your very nice presentation. We enjoy it. So my question is, when I going through your presentation, I found that whatever you give the reason, the causes of the depression, that I found you give the all that are condition. Like if we could not able to pass the our standard, if we could not able to get the good marks, if we lost somebody, if we lost something, so when that bring us depression. So this all, according to our Tibetan medicine, we say that this all are condition, not the real causes. So in psychology, is there any fundamental causes of the depression? So like there are very professional Tibetan medicine doctor, we conclude with the fundamental causes of the depression come on the attachment. So before 2 days we discussed many about these things. So in psychology, Western psychology studies, there are any fundamental causes of the depression? And my second question is there any balance and imbalance of the something immune system or any other cells which bring us depression? So these are my 2 questions. Thank you
very much. Good question. There are some similarity between the Buddhist tradition and the modern science. What you gave as the example of conditions in the Tibetan medicine, we also believe that they are conditions, they are not illnesses. When too many things happen together and when they continue for a long period of time, then I say that has become an illness. But otherwise, for a short period, all of us can have the condition of sadness, which does not require treatment. If that person comes to me, I will just reassure him and send him away. I will not put him on treatment. I will not even ask him to come to me second time. The fundamental cause of depression, unfortunately, we have not yet found. You know, we have not yet found. Though we say that there are some biological changes, we say there are three kind of causes. Biopsychosocial for depression. Biological is, like I said, changes within the neurotransmitters. And psychological causes means that somebody's personality is like that. You know, some people are pessimistic by nature, some people are, they give up very easily, you know. So those are psychological reasons. Or social reasons means that the person has lot of stresses and poor social support. So these are biopsychosocial reasons, which means that there is no one cause which can explain depression. There is no one such cause. Yes, I understand that attachment is a very important cause of depression, and for most of our misery, attachment is the... unfortunately, yet we do not have that kind of... In fact, in most of the modern medicine, we do not have a fundamental cause for each illness, except for infection. You know, when you have a virus and you have an illness. You have malaria parasite, you have malaria. You have virus for dengue, you develop dengue or chikungunya. But for most of the medical illnesses, there is no fundamental cause. There is no single fundamental cause. Even for heart disease or for hypertension, high blood pressure, there is no, we do not know why people develop high blood pressure. The precise cause is still unknown, but we suffer from hypertension, we treat hypertension every day, but still we do not know that why a person has developed hypertension. He is not obese, he is eating habit fine, but they develop depression.
So we're going to conclude questions now, because it's time.